This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Yeah, On The Wire is back, and Gordon Elliott is certainly back, judging by this morning's news, where the big man has laid down the law. The sheriff is back in town. He's told his jockeys, put up or get out, effectively. And we'll talk about that very shortly with Brendan Duke, our regular guest, Johnny Mack from the sponsors, Bar One Racing, some specials over a splendid couple of days at Down Royal. We're all going to look back on Luxembourg as well, his brilliant performance, Doncaster. And we're joined by Mark Boylan of the Racing Post. Mark, what's going on?
Oh, good. Just about hanging on here. I'm like Bioy's trying to complete it, Aintree or Cheltenham here. I'm making a few mistakes with Wi-Fi and apps, but we're just hanging in there. We're off the bridle, but hopefully we get home.
Well, you're kind of back on the bridle now, and Gordon Elliott is back on the bridle. He's come back. He's spoken the right things in the media. He said, "Oh, you know, I want another chance." I think as a nation, I think if Michelle Smith had gone on the late, for example, after all that happened, the nation would have readily forgiven her if she said, "Well, this is what happened," so on and so forth. But she stood by her principles. Gordon Elliott has said, "I made a mistake. I'm really sorry," but he's laid down the law here. Mark Boylan, talk to me about your reaction this morning.
I can understand the decision. I mean, Gordon Elliott is top trainer in Ireland, and if you're wanting to win the top races, you look at this weekend, lots of prize money on offer, you want the best jockeys, and ultimately I know Jack Kennedy has a relationship with Manella Indo, and I'm sure it seems as though the owner would have been keen for that relationship to keep intact, but you know, Delta Work is a horse that I would have felt particularly that Jack Kennedy gets the very best out of, so for him to be keeping that partnership is important. And Gordon has laid down the law. And same with Envoy Allen. I know Davy Russell would have been champing at the bit during his recovery to get back and ride him. But, you know, while that he used to take a big drop in quality, so to speak, riding in that race on Saturday at Down Royal, I can ultimately understand where Gordon's coming from. I would have thought it would be very understanding. You know, it was reported earlier in the week that the intention was for Davy to ride Envoy Allen and for Jack to ride Manella Indo. But we got a bit of a surprise this morning when we saw Jack Kennedy jocked up for two in the champion chase.
Yeah, and Dukie, this return of Down Royal to me, obviously Cheltenham last weekend, but this does signal the return of proper jumps racing. And this has set up the narrative so well in terms of, you know, there'll be a lot of chat now, a lot of, oh, Gordon's laid down the law here. I wonder what Jack Kennedy and Davy made of it. But at the same time, I agree with Mark.
Well, as do I. And you have to say, Johnny, you've been in the media game. He gives you plenty to talk about, Gordo, doesn't he?
So, he does.
I completely agree. And I'd forgotten. It was only when Mark reminded me that they did make a big thing about that with Delta Work when Jack Kennedy got a fall a couple of seasons back and couldn't ride him, that they do believe he gets the best tune out of him. And ultimately, again, as Mark has said, it's a grade one race. What's the point in having the best jockeys if you're just going to let them go for the big races? So it seems perfectly reasonable, but it's highly significant because this Manella Indo is a tricky horse and Jack got some tune out of him in Cheltenham. So what's going to happen on Saturday? Fascinating weekend, Johnny.
Fascinating weekend, Duke. And Johnny Mack, it just adds another layer to the whole weekend because, as we'll talk about, the quality of the races, from beginners' chases to the feature race, obviously, on Saturday, the JNY, and it's just top quality from Vanillier all the way to Manella Indo.
Yeah, this meeting has become firmly established, Johnny, in the calendar. I think it's a meeting that Elliott loves to target. And the Grade 1 itself is relatively new. I think it's only 15 or 16 years old. We caught a star back in 06, 07 or that. But yeah, it's a meeting that seems to be growing and growing. And Down Royal is a race getting better as well. So it seems to be a good match.
It's a quality race course. I've a somewhat funny story about this, Mark Boylan, in that JNY obviously sponsors the big race. And so I, for a couple of years anyway, when I was like a proper news journalist or whatever, I started getting shipments of JN champagne every Christmas without fail, worth about 700 quid, right? So around the time anyway, Down Royal started using me to do a few, like, kind of go to a couple of the boxes before racing and go through the cars, and that was grand anyway. So James Nicholson himself was there one day. And he gave his spiel, you know, a lovely fella, like, you know, delighted to have you all here at Down Royal. And now I'll hand you over to Johnny, our resident expert, yada, yada. And then, you know, so it was in November, obviously, this stage. So I said, and of course, James, I will be expecting, you know, a nice shipment in the post later on, hint, hint. And he sort of laughed at me, but not in a way that gave me any suggestion that he actually knew what I was talking about. Coolmore had been sending me the champagne all along, not James Nicholson. So Coolmore had been sending me champagne to drink every prisoner, not really a champagne drinker. And you have to wonder, was I even a journalist anymore?
Right, baby, because your integrity had been compromised by something at the corporate tish. Okay, yeah. Well, I respect you. I mean, did you think of that after you drank the champagne or before?
And during.
All right, okay. Well, that's the main thing. It's in the back of your mind somewhere anyway. So you have a sliver of integrity.
A small bit of a caveat. Coolmore did stop sending me it in recent years for some reason or not. And as I say, my integrity is so low that if they were to send it back, hell of a kind of a convenient thing to have around when you want to give away Christmas gifts and so on. Anyway, we're going to talk about Lisbon actually very shortly later on in the show. And if you don't know, you weren't listening or watching last week. But let's start, Mark Boylan, with Luxembourg. His performance on Saturday at Doncaster. I thought this was a very messy race for him. He did an awful lot of donkey work on the far side. He seemed to be in front sort of longer out than anticipated. He was workmanlike to an extent, but he beat Sissoko, which I think is rock solid form. Did he enhance his Derby credentials as Bar One's cut in price suggests that he did afterwards?
He did enhance them for sure, but I'm not too sure whether there's much value left in him for a Derby at this stage, considering how far out we are. Having said that, he's the most likely winner of the Derby in my eyes anyway. And you know, the sire, everything about him just suggests that a mile and a half would be ideal. I know some have pointed out maybe that head carriage-wise or the way he goes about it or went about it last weekend was a little bit ungainly. But I do think the wind was a factor for sure. And his inexperience in general, like he's a Camelot that was out in the middle of the summer doing things that were pretty forward. And, you know, while he would have the speed for a Guineas, and I'd be happy for him to have a crack there before going on to Epsom. Ultimately, you look at the type of horse he'd take on in the Guineas, as such a strong traveller in a Coroebus, you know, and Native Trail, I know, is a little bit different again. But I just think he could be really at home at Epsom. I wouldn't have concerns about him on the track as some might have. But, you know, this is really important for Ballydoyle because there hasn't been that standout two-year-old to give the winter hope. And my God, this fella has it all. I'm really, really excited to see what he can do. I think he'll win the Derby. I think he'll go close in the Guineas, but I do think one with more natural pace might just catch him out, a la kind of the year Australia got beaten the Guineas before going on to the Derby. But he is the big hope for Coolmore in the two-year-old department. I know some people are saying, you know, Aidan O'Brien might not have had a great year. By anybody else's standards, it's an exceptional year again. Mm. It's just the two-year-olds maybe have lacked a little bit. But I tell you what, the runner-up, Johnny Sissoko, he's a proper horse, isn't he? Like that was a very, very big run coming off a Curragh Maiden.
Yeah, and Juki spoke so highly of him going into the race. In fairness, we'll get the odds of Johnny Mack for him for the Derby very shortly. But I do remember Camelot went off 4-7 or something like that in the Derby. It's conceivable that this horse will go off shorter, but I can't see him winning the Guineas, Juki. I don't think he's the pace looking at him on Saturday.
Oh, really? Okay. I think he's plenty of pace because I basically was just going to echo what you to say. I thought he got a terrible ride. He was just hung out in the wing. He lit him up too soon. He was in front of furlong out. I thought Moore did everything wrong in the race, and the horse did everything right. He's got a really impressive turn of foot again. He went from about fourth to first in five strides. And I think he'd be eyeballs out for the Guineas as well, because I put it to you, Johnny Ward, that as a son of Camelot, it is more important for this horse to win the Guineas than it is the Derby.
I'd agree, and I think they may run him there. And if he doesn't win it, I don't think it'll be a disaster, because he'll win. He's out of a day until Dancer Mare. I think he's a half-brother to Souter Man as well. He's very, very well related, but to me, he's screaming a mile and a half. What did you make of the ride, Mark?
Wouldn't have been particularly perturbed by it. I can see where Brendan's coming from. I ultimately think he has a fair level of class, even though it isn't an evident type of class, maybe visually. He has a fair bit of class about him. And from a speed point of view, the sectional watchers were very impressed with the Curragh when he won. I think his final three furlongs were quicker than Arc Power when he won the Group 3 sprint on the same day. So I do think he definitely has gears, even if he is a little bit deceiving physically in what he shows. But next year, even to look at him, like he looks an out-and-out three-year-old rather than a two-year-old. Mm. That's why I think his winter is going to be vital. You know, if he was to remain as he is, perhaps maybe the Guineas is an option that would become more attractive. I still think, like you, I'd be very much in your camp. I think he'd run the Guineas. like he'd be a very, very marketable stallion wise if he could win a Guineas or go close in the Guineas. And then ultimately the Derby is D-Day for me. But he isn't short of pace. I just still think Epsom will take a fair one to beat him now if he goes the right way. But we've been here before. High definition last year. I was very excited, but Beresford brilliance doesn't always translate to classic glory next year.
Yeah, I don't know whether he didn't train on. He took an age to get going in his races, to be fair. Whereas this fella, like when he won the Beresford, it looked like that he could
gears,
just join
he?
In at any... Yeah, and he looked like he could join in at any time. Whereas, like, for me, if I backed him at Doncaster, I'm not happy most of the race. I'm worried here because I don't think it's run to suit. What price are you for Epsom, Johnny Mac?
He's 4-1 favourite for the Epsom Derby, Johnny. And he is second favourite for the English Guineas. They went 11-2, I think, from 8 for the English Guineas with Native Trail. 3-1 favourite for the Guineas.
Okay, I'm happy enough with that 4-1. I think that's a top industry price as well. I wouldn't be bothered about the Guineas price, but nothing wrong with the 4-1. Let's get to Down Royal. We might have a small bit of chat about Dundalk. My nap's actually at Dundalk on Friday. Of course, a good chance from a yard actually that's going really well at the moment. But before that, let's get to Down Royal. I think the obvious place to start here is the WKD. Hurdle, are you a fan of WKD as a drink in general, Juki?
Is that Wicked? Is that Blue Wicked? I've seen people drinking it. It looks sweet. I don't know how it tastes, but it looks too sickly sweet. So I don't know anything about it, but I'm a huge fan of brands that sponsor races. Good for them.
Let's look back on Leopardstown last year, last Christmas, when Zanahir could do no wrong.
Drew Zalter, with travelling up strongly on the outside, Zanny here, ridden along in by the rail is Bustleton, then Autumn Evening, who's trying to improve on the outside of Jeff Kidder, and then Sassam and Adore. Straightening for the final flight in the night, Frank Juvenile Hurdle, Bustleton on the far side of Zanny here. These two open up a couple of lengths advantage over Drew Zalter. Autumn Evening, Adore stays on the outside. Coming to the final flight, and it's Zanny here, fractional advantage from Bustleton. Adore still stays on ahead of Autumn Evening, and it's Zanny here sent on by Jack Kennedy. And Zanny here is further enhancing his credentials in the juvenile division, wins by good four lengths from Bustleton, Adore, Sassam.
I've spoken to both his part owner, Noel Moore, and trainer Gordon Elliott, Mark, in relation to Zanna here, and both of them, without prompting, said he's gotten very, very strong.
Love hearing that, Johnny. Love hearing that, because coming into this season, I have a lot of time for this horse. I think in a different day, he would have gone very close in the Triumph. I thought it was a brilliant ride in the winner, Calixius, but I thought in different circumstances, Zanny here would have gone an awful lot closer. I didn't think he finished a tired horse by any means in the Triumph. I just thought, in terms of delivering his effort, it didn't happen for him. And at Punchestown, plenty went wrong as well. I mean, I'd imagine that it was a ride that Jack Kennedy would probably like to have back on another day. Ultimately, Jeff Kidder is very, very tough, very, very solid. But in terms of the natural potential for this year, I think this fella can go a long way. I'd be interested to see what way they go trip-wise with him, because obviously you've got a big force in Honeysuckle in them two-mile races, but I think mid-range trips would be ideal if she wasn't around in the Hatton's Grace. We know he likes Fairy House, but to me now, of the four-year-old hurdlers, ones that we would have seen last year, I'd have him above Calixius in terms of what I'm looking forward to seeing this year. I really, really... What some of the performance we saw last season, as we just seen there, I thought he was potentially top drawer, so really looking forward to seeing how he does, and I'm very encouraged to hear that bulletin from you, Johnny.
He does have to give weight, Johnny Mac, to Cask Mace, who's obviously improved in form and is an 8-year-old. He's given him £5, which more or less brings him pretty much together at the weight, give or take. But this is one of these races where effectively the market cannot get it wrong, as far as I'm concerned. So if the market is strong about one of these, it will win. It's one of those races where Zanahir is coming back off a break. Cask Mace, he is what he is. He's a very good horse. If the market fancies one or the other, it'll win.
Yeah, don't forget we had a real upset in a few years ago. Bedrock turned over Sampro Charge. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. But as Mark said, it'd be great to see Zanna here maybe pitch up the Hatton's Grace. 4 weeks to the Hatton's Grace. This should be a good sharpener for Zanna here. Elliot was adamant through the season that he was better than Quilixius. Obviously, that didn't play out at Cheltenham. But yeah, it'd be great to see Hatton's Grace and take on Honeysuckle.
I think he's interested with the champion hurdle, Juki, actually, because I think, you know, he was a sharp price in the Triumph last year. I don't really think the race was run to suit him. Lots of positive bulletins coming out of him, as much coming out of the yard, as much as he's a four-year-old. What do you make from his campaign this year?
Yeah, well, he's a big frame to fill, so it's good to hear that he's strengthened up. I kind of, my Mystic Meg guess into his future is that he'll have difficult second album syndrome and ultimately end up as a three-mile chaser. Because he's a big unit, and I mean certainly physically he has the scope to jump fences, and as the lads mentioned, a step up and trip. Where are they going to go with him this season? I mean, could he end up in a stayer's hurdle or something like that? I think he'll struggle this season, but we haven't heard the last of him.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And we certainly won't hear the last from tomorrow as well. What a cracker that'll be, even if it kind of looks a bit of a match. Hollow Games representing the same connections as well. The EBF maiden hurdle, a horse with a load of potential as well. Last seen beating URT at Leopardstown last Christmas. But I think Dougal, many eyes are going to be on the beginner's chase. I spoke to Gavin Cromwell, did a stable throw with him about Vanillier. No negatives whatsoever. And just looking at the racing post, this could be provisional price. No, he's going to be a backable price in the beginner's chase. What do you make of it?
Yeah, well, he's going to be a backable price because he's up against Beacon Edge, Grand Paradis, and of course, Champagne Gold. First time jumping for the HDB, so we can expect some improvement from that horse. And he was already a pretty useful novice hurdler. So, I mean, this is, I could make a case for all four of them. If you ask me for a nominal selection on the race, I'd probably go with Champagne Gold because he might just be underestimated, and we can almost be guaranteed that he'd be a good jumper because of the hotel he's coming out of.
The one thing, Mark, with Vanilli is that there's been so much rain, it's biblical rain since I arrived back in Ireland the other day, which I presume is going into the ground, and that'll bring his stamina into play because Gavin does very much see him as a three-miler.
I have a similar opinion. I think he's more RSA chase than Marsh, even though I don't like to pigeonhole at this stage of the year, but like an extreme stamina test is what sees the best of him. And one thing to bear in mind as well, like he was beaten by Cross Hill in a Punchestown maiden hurdle last season. He got better as the year went on. For all that, I think he was sick after his run at the Dublin Racing Festival. I actually fancied him that day, but he clearly, from flag fall, you could see he wasn't right. He put that right at Cheltenham. But I'm very excited about Grand Parody as a prospect. I know maybe he hasn't achieved as much in terms of, you know, substance to a rating maybe as what Beacon Edge has done, or Vanilla for that matter. But I really, really thought the way this fella went about it at Tardis last season, I was very, very impressed. And I'd be disappointed if there's not a whole pile more to come from him. But maybe he might be more of a spring prospect than straight away. So I'd be watching him with interest. And Champagne Gold is a funny one because I had time for him over hurdles, but kind of you get the impression maybe he was just waiting for this to come to go chasing. So we know how good this race has been in previous times. So I'm looking forward to seeing how we get on. But Grand Parody, maybe a long term prospect. I'm very excited about him.
It's an unbelievable day's race. And what do you like in the card, Mark?
Sure. Otherwise, I mean, you're looking there. The handicap hurdles are pretty tricky, I thought. But otherwise, in the bumper as well, I know we've seen some good winners of bumpers at Down Royal in this meeting in the past. Look no further than Sir Gerhard last year. The Mediator, thought it was interesting that Jamie is going with him, Jamie Codd, for Gordon Elliott. It's the sort of race that probably whatever wins the bumpers this weekend or the maiden hurdles this weekend, they're going to go short. There's another horse called American Mike, who I haven't personally heard many rumblings about, but it seems that some people have. He's priced between, I think, 16s and 20s for the champion bumper. As far as I'm aware, he runs Saturday. You know, it's going to be a big weekend for Gordon, whatever way you dress it up, you'd have to imagine. But it's Friday is a lovely, lovely set you up nicely for Saturday. Loads to look forward to.
Thoughts, Johnny Mac?
Yeah, it's a good card. As Mark alluded to, I think Gordon at 5 or 6 entered in that bumper. He's declared two. There was floods of cash for Lieutenant Highway first time out, but he was third in a kind of muddling forerunner bumper at Punchestown. Jamie Codd rides the Mediator, the other Elliott runner, and Hollow Game should be hard to beat in the first maiden hurdle. And as you said, that beginner's chase, I mean, it's been the starting point for the likes of Delta Work and Envoy Allen in the past, and it should be a cracker, that beginner's chase.
Yeah, it's going to live up to that billing, I think. And we haven't even mentioned Yuki the Novice Hurdle as well. Purple Mountain, Party Central, Stablemate, Glan, his own beaten Impervious taking on each other. What's your thought on the rest of the card?
Yeah, I mean, Elliot could, I know he targets this meeting every year. He could easily win the first three with Hollow Games, Party Central and Xana here. So, yeah. But the only thing I fancied, if I was having a bet, would be this Arahi Khan in the 405 again. In
interesting.
The yeah, well, in the HDB, we trust. So this won a beginner's chase in Down Royal last season and probably would have won over course and distance on penultimate start, but for tipping up at the second last. He then pulled up disappointingly in Gorham, but it was a much better race than this he ran in Gorham. The two horses he beat in that beginner's chase are fairly solid and would suggest he's off a workable mark on Friday. I'm hoping the HDB will have him pretty straight because this is a winnable race. And if he does, should go close.
Yeah, that's I think that's it's worth bearing that in mind there. I went through that race. You can pick holes in a lot of them. And if he were to come there, face the handicap hurdle now on Saturday as well is a race that I think I've had a bit of luck in this race before with apparent JP McManus second/third strings. And he's strongly represented. But there's really only one place to start. It is the appetizer with Sanvois Len. Spoken to Henry de Bromhead, he said there's a lot of pressure, you know, when you have a horse like this. Obviously, pressure with all the good horses that he has, but this one just hasn't worked out yet on Violin. And it's hard to believe it hasn't worked out when he was capable of performances like this in 2020.
3 to 4 lengths covering the quartet as they come down towards the second last. And it is Assemble landing with a fractional advantage over on the far side is Envoy Hélène. And a flick of a gear, Envoy Hélène opens up a lead coming out of the final fence in the bar1racing.com Drinmore Novice Chase. It's Envoy Hélène and Jack Kennedy moving smoothly away from Assemble and Home by the Lee and at the last. Envoy Hélène pops it clear, racing clear of Assemble, Home by the Lee. And into the closing stages, Envoy Hélène will preserve his undefeated record in the Bar 1. Drinmore winning at her third Fairy House Winter Festival. Second, Assemble, Home by the Lee. Third, last of the four, Cocoa Beach.
Mark Boylan, what do we know this year about Envoy Hélène?
I think he's got a bit to prove, Johnny. I mean, I was so excited about him last season, but the wheels really came off. And you know, ultimately, a lot was talked about his unseat at Cheltenham or his fall at Cheltenham. And I thought it was nearly a scenario that he wasn't quite used to. I mean, they were going a real lick and he was in behind horses with cover. I could understand that the thought process behind it, but this is a horse that was really looking natural out on his own. And we know he came back from Punchestown with a problem. I don't know. I'd have a concern going into this. I wouldn't be one that's be laying into him now at a sharp price. You know, we saw with Sam Crow, I don't mean to be even mentioning a possible Sam Crow syndrome, but he's done an awful lot from an early age. And, you know, it'd be a fair performance now for Henry to get him back on track this season and get him back to what he was. Perhaps the surgery has helped him. But, you know, for me, there are other more solid kind of propositions out there with a view to going forward this season. In terms of natural potential last season, he was absolutely the most exciting that you could be looking forward to. But I think now if you were to offer me tomorrow morning whether you'd like to have an ownership in an Ergamine type of figure or Envoy Hélène, I know where I'd be, and it'd be with Willie Mullins' horse.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like waking up beside, you know, two supermodels and having to pick one. I think I'd be happy enough with Envoy Hélène, Juki, anyway, to be honest, if I were offered him.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so, Johnny, because, of course, he has the look of eagles, and I am a slave to aesthetics. I mean, there are definite concerns. He's had two wind ups now, and one of the people in Elliott's, it might have been Keith Donoghue, I can't remember, but he mentioned, and in fairness, he said it before Cheltenham, that this horse, he has to go out, everything has to be regimented with him. He has to go out with the same horses in the same order. So he could be a horse who would be unsettled by moving to a different yard. So there are huge concerns, but ultimately I'm just hoping that it's one fall and one race where he finished laying. And he was the most exciting. He was the most exciting horse in training. So please, that I'm just. I won't be backing him, obviously, but I'll be praying that he can put in a solid shift on Saturday.
Yeah, the I think the race Punchestown. I was it's one of those races that just kind of makes you wonder, like, about racing in that, you know, Monkfish, I thought, was very disappointing. Envoy Lem pulled up, and Colreevy's a very good mare, but it's just like, it's just, you feel so deflated after a race, even without having a bet in it. And at the same time, in relation to having a bet tomorrow at the prospective prices now, Johnny Mac, like, Cocoa Beach could be 7-1, something like that. Vado Forte, who was massively weak in the betting first start for Gordon Elliott, ended up bolting up. And I'm not sure there was a massive fluke about that, as much as some disappointed in the race. But these are good horses he's taken on, and he's, you can imagine he's going to be a bit of a drifter at those sort of prices.
Yeah, it'll be interesting what price they go. I see John Ryan has declared Fairy Hill Run as well. She was in the main race as well, the champion chase, but he's gone for the grade two with her. But yeah, I just echo what the lad said. Of course, I think most people bought into this Envoy Allen this time last year after he won the Drenmore, went on and won at Punchestown. Of course, that was simplified because his market rival fell at the first. But yeah, he's something to prove now. And interesting to see what he does tomorrow now. On Saturday.
Right, let's go to the big race, the Champion Chase at at 250, which was obviously known as the J&Y, and has new sponsors now. This is now the Ladbrokes Champion Chase, and this is a race that has been, back in the day, was farmed by Paul Nichols. Maybe Frodon won't have his own way this season, but we have three serious contenders coming into the race.
It's going to be an all-Irish finish, that is for sure. Heading to the last, Manella Indo and Jack Kennedy. Our Plutani's trying to come back at him in second place with three lengths to find up the hill. Manella Indo, he's won here before at Cheltenham. Our Plutard giving chase all the way. Getting closer now under Rachel Blackmore. Manella Indo is all out, flat out, but he wins the Gold Cup from his second Our Plutard. Third is Album Photo this time, denied. Back in third under Paul Townend, another good run. And Native River rewarding Richard Johnson's perseverance to finish fourth. On towards the second last, Frodon being stalked by Mr. Fisher now. At the second last, Frodon just had to put in a short one. Militaria makes a mistake. Mr. Fisher challenging hard over on the far side of Frodon, and they're going to gallop down to the final fence, practically stride for stride here. Mr. Fisher on the far side of Frodon. Both jump it well. Mr. Fisher away fractionally the better. Frodon battling on gamely on the near side as they race up the hill. Mr. Fisher just with the advantage. Frodon will not lie down as they race up towards the line. Frodon near side of Mr. Fisher. He might have got up. Frodon near side of Mr. Fisher. What a terrific finish. Frodon never gave in and might have got there. The judge will decide. Mr. Fisher far side, then Born Survivor and Militarian.
Yeah, two of the big candidates here, and obviously horse who won the race in a couple of years coming into this race, obviously not taking his chance, with all respect, Delta Work taking his chance, and the jockey situation here, starting with you, Juki. Bryony Frost has been in the news for some very controversial reasons of late. She's had serious grievances in the weighing room over there. And then we have Rachel Blackmore back on Manila Indo. Jack Kennedy, who was supposed to be riding Manila Indo, obviously, and David Russell and Alvin, who might have his own issues as well. I mean, some interesting faces on the jockeys coming in here, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Jack will just suck it up, though, won't he? I mean, he's not going to give up riding for the second biggest yard in the country over one horse. So I don't think there'll be massive fallout from it, and certainly on this broadcast, the general consensus is that it was a perfectly reasonable line for Elliot to take. So I think Jack will just go out and try and get a tune out of Delta Work, which he's supposed to be able to do like no other.
Is he the value in the race, Mark Boylan?
My connection dropped off there, Johnny. I was hanging in there for a while. Is Delta Work the value? Is that the question? Or?
Indeed.
Yeah, I think he probably is value. I think he's a better horse than Galvin in terms of natural ability. And if I was to have a bet at two, which are similar prices, he'd be my idea of the winner. You know, Frodon is an interesting contender in general because I have an awful lot of respect for Paul Nichols having a crack at this race. We know himself and Gordon, I think, are the two most successful trainers since the race was inaugurated. And, you know, he obviously came over and reaped rewards for bringing Clan des Obo at a time, a Punchestown last season, at a time when not many British trainers were very, very confident about coming over. So I'd have a lot of respect for him trying this. but I still think Delta Work, you know, Gordon will have got a decent run with him now, I'd imagine, having had the setback that ruled him out of the Gold Cup. I spoke to Jordan Gainford for the Monday jury. He said he rides a bit at home and he was very, very happy. He had nothing negative to report in any sense. And Delta Work, just from a point of view, Manella Indo, he seems to be a horse that thrives on racing. You know, albeit now that he went a little bit quiet, I thought, in the spring, maybe just before Cheltenham. But that was a huge effort. And he obviously didn't end up going to Punchestown. I think he might have had a minor hiccup just beforehand. I don't know. I think he's a horse that'll keep going. I know Henry de Bramhall, I think, has mentioned the King George as well, which I thought was very, very interesting. So I wouldn't have thought this was the be-all and end-all for Manella Indo, but I do think Delta Work, we know what he can deliver around this time of year. So I'm very excited to see what he can do.
Well, Johnny Mack, he was 3-1 in the race last year. And as much as he disappointed subsequently, he kind of did have excuses. Gordon's horses are in unbelievable form. Manella Indo, obviously, he came into Cheltenham with one or two issues to prove. He's obviously going to be a much shorter price. So what price can we expect Delta Work for those looking for a bit of value?
Probably around 8-10-1, I'd say, Johnny. They've had quite a bit of rain. I just read there, they've had 18 mils of rain and they're forecast up to 10 mils until tomorrow lunch. The ground is going to be testing. That's going to suit Manella Indo as well. He'll be hard to beat with conditions in his favour. And I think Henry de Bramhall has stated he's ready for this as well. I read that quote as well. They've primed him for this.
What about Frodon, Dukey and Briney?
Massive chance. I have a theory on, I don't know the betting, but I'm guessing that Manella Indo is going to be around even money, something like that. Mm. And if that's the case, I'd be taking him on. I'd be taking him on all year. I don't think he's, I think he's a horse we may well have seen the best of. He has his own ideas about the game. There's no doubt about it. He stops when he gets to the front. Now, again, I might be reading too much into one fall and one run in the Irish Gold Cup when he didn't jump a fence. But now we have a situation, was he getting cute under Rachel Blackmore? And that's why the jockey change made the difference. Or is it that he just comes alive in Cheltenham? Now, interestingly, Down Royal, I had this explained to me last year, because it looks like such a straightforward track. It's just, it's 2 miles in circumference. And you think it's one of the fairest tests of the country. But it is a quirky track in the sense that the turn away from the stands and the turn back out into the country are almost at right angles. So now, Cheltenham's a very quirky track as well. There's not a bother on him there. In fact, he comes alive there. He should probably be unbeaten at the track. But I just have my concerns that we've seen the best of Manella Indo, and I'd be happy to take him on the short price. Frodon is going to jump out in front. You thought Frodon might have some competition for the lead, did you? I thought he'd get his own way. But anyway, I'm hoping he'd get his own way. He put the Indos jumping under pressure, and if he folds up the way he did in the Irish Gold Cup, Nicholls is going to have Frodon. We could be fairly sure he doesn't like to leave these grade ones behind. And I thought Frodon, I'm guessing he'd be about a 4-1, 9-2 shot. I'd be happy enough to take a chance at that price.
And you mentioned, we'll get your thoughts now briefly, as in the rest of the card. You mentioned American Mike in the bumper, Mark. This is actually reminding me that Gordon Elliott gave this as his dark horse for the year from the yard in a stable throw that I did. Very well regarded son of Mallor. Won a point to point, and you mentioned these bumpers in Down Royal. Willie Mullins doesn't tend to run horses at this meet in general, and Gordon can do very well, and you can imagine that that horse would be one that would just be backed off the board straight away. What do you like the rest of the card Saturday?
Yeah, one other one, Johnny, on Saturday, Esky Lane. Again, obviously we knew it was putting up Gordon Elliott.
The enigmatic Esky Lane.
Yeah, geez, there's one in him though, isn't there? I mean, God, he's off 1-3-4. You know, I thought there were definite signs of encouragement to be taken from the run at the Stole. You know, kind of an eye-catching run at Leopardstown earlier in the season. I don't know. Look, if it doesn't click from off that mark, I'd be very, very disappointed at some stage. But finding out when has been kind of expensive up until now. But knowing how well Gordon puts emphasis on this meeting, and in fairness, for decent prize money, I think there are stronger races at this grade than maybe the one he's encountering at the weekend. So with a bit of kind of hopefulness about him rather than absolute confidence, Esky Lane, I hope he can run a big one.
He's a horse that has, I mean, he was, well, I think he was, Keith Dunhill might have put him forward as one of his horses to follow as a novice herder, and obviously things went awry. He's taken on the After Dough in that race, who is now up to 90 after being in powerful, powerful form in the flat, beating powerful Aggie, obviously, last time. Lots of powerful there. Dukey, anything powerful about your selections tomorrow?
Well, unfortunately not, Johnny. I thought it was all really competitive stuff, so I only have one, and it's my nap, so you may want me to hold that back.
Johnny Mack?
I thought that handicap that Mark referred to, Light Brigade of Jack Foley rides for Charles Burns. He ran in that Slonawalia, that amateur riders race at Listowel. I'd imagine they were prepping him for maybe one of these big autumn handicaps, and this race could be the one for him in the handicap on Saturday. Just very quickly, Johnny, before the offers for the weekend, I bring you, and they're going to be price boosting on Friday, New Saturday, and Nace on Sunday. That's across all platforms, the app, online shops, and on the phones as well. There they are, Kempton, Newmarket, and Nace for the weekend.
Beautiful. We'll start with the Naps, starting with you, Brendan Duke.
Okay, so the 4 o'clock on Saturday is a handicap chase. There's an interesting horse running here called West Street. All we seem to be doing all day is putting up Gordon Elliott horses, so why should I do anything different? But what is he doing with this horse? An 11-year-old, barely rated in three figures. I mean, what is the plan with this horse? Is the plan this race on Saturday? If it is, the stars have aligned. Johnny Mack has mentioned all the rain they've had. All he does is stay, perfectly satisfactory comeback over hurdles in Limerick when he was staying on at the end. Should have put him spot on for this race. I just don't understand what he's doing in the yard. I feel like he has a day in him. I feel like that day is Saturday, so West Street.
Mark Boylan.
Yeah, I can see the case there, Juki. Definitely, it was easy enough to back as well at Limerick. My nap will come on Friday at Dundalk in the 5:45. Laugh a minute, Aidan McGuinness. Now, I'm not saying he was an unlucky loser last to Machork, but it was a very, very solid run, and in a different circumstance, he might have got even closer. He's only beaten half a length. And my God, he would have taken everybody's eye out of the back of their head the previous start at the Curragh, desperately unlucky. But just have a theory with these sprinters. I mean, he's able to go over there and mix it with some very, very solid sprinting types in a British handicap. I generally feel that the level of sprint handicaps in Britain will be higher than it is over here. We see on Irish Champions Weekend, handicaps in general, I think, since Irish Champions, prior to this year anyway, I had a few stats done. I think they've won one in four of the races that they represented in British horses, and the sprint division, they're pretty strong. So the fact this fella could go over and mix it there and then comes back here as kind of top weight where he could make his class count. I know he hasn't won on the all-weather before, but he was second in a listed race to Harry's Bar. Just think he has an awful lot going for him, and Edo's the sort of guy that can keep this fella on the roll. So for me, laugh a minute, hopefully to recoup losses in the 5:45 at Dundalk.
Yeah, we'll have to get Mark back on the show. He fits an awful lot into a short space of time. He lashes the words out and makes a strong case. Can you make a strong case for your nap, Johnny Mac?
Sorry, I left the cat out of the bag. Light Brigade, I mentioned him earlier on, Charles Burns in these handicaps. I thought he ran okay in that qualified riders race at Listowel. He had a good run at Punchestown. He was second at the festival in a novice handicap. He's quite lightly raced. And they've got this Jack Foley who seems to be making big strides. He takes five off. He'll be a player, I think, in the handicap on Saturday at Down Royal.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see the betting there. Charles Burns horse as well taken on. As I mentioned, one horse and Mark mentioned another. My nap is Clatterbang in the 7:45 Dundalk. Andy Oliver's only had one winner from his last 20 odd. They're all running really well. She is so well handicapped. She just puts it together. Two runs back to Dundalk. She completely blew the start. They then put cheek pieces on her at Gorn. She got a bit worked up beforehand, but Gorn's an impossible track really to come from where she came from the last day. Ended up finishing a very eye-catching fifth. Now she's rated, 48, so you're dealing with, low-grade stuff here, but she's seriously well handicapped. Juki, just before we finish up, last week you said you were going to Lisbon with a woman I think you'd met once. Now, you're still going to Lisbon. Have you actually met her more than once since we're a week later?
No. But she lives in Poland, so it's quite tricky for me, Johnny, because, I've only just adjusted to leaving the house, so I can't be nipping over to Poland. I'll see her in Lisbon. It'll all be fine. It's neutral ground, if you will. It's like a European Cup final.
It is. In fairness, I didn't know that you actually live in another jurisdiction. But before we finish up, fastest on the buzzer first, the last Polish bred winner at Cheltenham.
Galileo.
Oh, would it be Galileo?
Right, Mark was barely even born at that stage and he got in ahead of us. Unbelievable. Were you born at 1991 or so? Clearly weren't, actually. Were you? Were you born?
I was born in 97. I thought it was more recent than that, but could be wrong.
Yeah, it's been an impressive performance by the Boylanator. Mark, thanks for coming on.
No, Hassel, thanks. And sorry for the tech difficulties here. You may shoot whoever's providing broadband here in Offaly.
Yeah, we've a lot of issues in this country at the moment. Some to do with ticket touts, actually, for Ireland and Portugal, where Juki will be going this weekend. Thanks very much for listening. We will be back next week with On the Wire.
This is On the Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Good job, one and all.
Cheers, lads. Brilliant stuff.